As quick as a public meeting will be. Please take a seat and welcome this rainy night. I'm so glad to see all of you in attendance.
Can't hear you.
Very good. Thank you for that.
And I'm on. Pardon me. Welcome again. Thanks for coming on this rainy night. This is the Cameron Park CSD regular board meeting on Wednesday, November 15th at 6:30. And I'm board president, Mr. Bassett. Okay, the first order of business is roll call. General Manager?
That's my cue. Director Bassett?
Present.
Director Scobie?
Present.
Director Easton?
Present.
Director Wilson?
Present.
Director Israel?
Present.
And I just want to note that our legal counsel, Jason Anderson, will be about 10 or 15 minutes late.
Thank you. Okay, and the next order is Pledge of Allegiance. Director Wilson, would you lead us in that, please?
Sure.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There is a public testimony statement. Would you read that, please, General Manager?
Public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. Since the party on each side of the issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak, individual comments are limited to 3 minutes except with the consent of the board. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the board. The board reserves the right to waive said rule by a majority vote.
Thank you. The next order of business is the adoption of the agenda. Have board members had a chance to review that? If so, do we have a correction or an addition or a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Do we have a second?
I will second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt the agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next order of business, recognition, appointments, and presentations. And we do have a presentation tonight. Is that correct, General Manager?
We had 3 board members go to the CSDA leadership conference, and they're all interested in saying a few things about their conference. Monique, do you want to start?
Sure.
So, like many of you, we are residents of the community, and we throw our hat in the ring, and we end up here on the dais, and we need training. So the California Special Districts, California Special District offers training for board members, general managers, and staff. And so we 3 of us attended this meeting and learned quite a few things. I attended the 2-day return track, and in order to save some costs for the districts, I just wanted to share with you that the 3 of us carpooled. And one of my family members opened up their home in Santa Rosa, so we didn't have any lodging fees. And I believe that 2 of 3 of us received a scholarship so that we did not have to pay any attendance. Everything that for the returning track was interesting, with the exception of one item, which was how to manage your campaign contributions. Given we're a very small district, I don't believe any of us actually have a campaign committee and campaign for any funds. So that one was not really applicable. Some of the other interesting things that we talked about was establishing a board culture and navigating community outreach, which was good. Leading challenging board meetings, which was another good one. Some financial strategies, and promoting civility in times of heightened partisanship. So these were all very pertinent. I learned a lot, and I wanted to end with a quick comment that I thought would benefit everyone, and it has to do with promoting civility. And this is a quote from Jane Goodall. Change happens by listening and starting a dialogue with people who are doing something you don't believe is right. So I encourage us all to maintain our civility and do precisely that.
Thank you. Do the other board members want to say something?
So Don and I both attended the first time basic training module, and it provided a lot of basic just instruction on how board members, what their roles are, how they work with staff. But there were other good sessions there on district finance, reserve policies, capital improvement planning. And so I found it a really good reinforcement of a lot of the things I had already experienced before. And then the opportunity to talk to other special district staff from around the state. And, you know, there's a lot of different strange special districts out there. But many of the challenges remain the same. And so it was a good experience, and I think I'll be a more effective director as a result.
Dr. Olson?
Well, speaking of different types of districts, how many of you out there knew that there were Veterans Memorial districts? Okay, one person. Two people, awesome. This runs the gamut from libraries to fire to water, cemeteries, all kinds of stuff. But essentially it was a government's forum, and we talked about things like communication and working effectively with boards and so forth and so on, and spent quite a lot of time on the finances. So I've got some good examples on budgets for when we get back into that, but all in all it was a very useful session.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we move on to the open forum for non-agenda items. So this is members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the jurisdiction of the board of directors. So when we move to the agenda items, the procedure is that the staff presents, the board may ask questions to clarify, and then it goes to the public to make comments for up to 3 minutes. And then it comes back to the board to make statements or make actions, okay? So we now move to the approval of the consent agenda.
Did you want to see if there was somebody that wanted to speak?
I overlooked that, pardon me, thank you very much. Okay, is there anyone in the public who would like to make a statement about non-agenda items? Thank you. Please come on up, sir.
Brad McMullen.
Oh, he's right behind you, Brad.
Brad McMullen, camera. When is the next town hall meeting going to be held? Is the first question I have. The second is a statement and then a question. At the recent town hall meeting, there were statements made that may or may not be accurate. What is the form to challenge these statements to obtain them to be accurate? That's a question. Thank you.
Let's see if we have further statements, and then we'll give the general manager a chance to respond. Do we have further third public comments?
Yes. I'm Eve Lowry. Two things I don't see on the agenda but have been discussed before. Number one is the bubbler system for the lake to preserve the integrity of the lake and to not allow it to get completely clogged up with weeds and algae. And that system was designed a while ago and would maintain the lake in a healthy state and has not been readdressed. And it's like $60,000 was the bid that was, the estimate that was received when this was looked at, I don't know, half a year ago, or a year ago, or 2 years ago. And the other thing is the entrance gate to the lake, which is now completely still open since January when we had the floods. And the booth is not manned and there's no gate. And I saw Mike Grassley and a bunch of men and a bunch of trucks out there several months ago taking measurements and figuring it out. It was discussed at meetings, and I have not seen any action taken on that, so I'm just wondering about those two projects.
Okay, we have a response to that. Is there any further public input? General Manager, oh, come on up, please.
Julia Cunningham, Cameron Park. I have a quick question. My question is, if we annex fire, what is the cost of having the state come in a massive emergency to the district?
Any further public input? Okay, that may be a fire answer. Gentlemen, if you want to respond to those three questions.
I don't
have a response right now, but I can follow up with those individuals and also post something online.
Okay, thank you for that input. Okay, and we now move to the approval of the consent agenda. It's pretty lengthy tonight. The purpose of the consent agenda is just those items that are somewhat routine. We can go without the, we can just move them as a group. So now a motion. The following consent agendas are considered routine and will be acted upon by the board without discussion with one vote. Any items may be removed from the consent agenda by a board member or a member of the audience placed under general business to be discussed and acted upon individually. So, board members, do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move we approve the consent agenda.
We have a second to that motion.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved and second, we approve the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay? It is passed. Okay, now we move on to the general business. Would you read the statement for general business, please, General Manager?
For purposes of the Brown Act, items below provide a brief description of each item of business to be transacted or discussed. Recommendations of the staff as shown do not prevent the board from taking other action.
So we go directly to number 13, which is approved resolution 2023-41, amendment to the agreement between the Green Park CSD and the Legal Government Services for Executive Search Consulting Services. General Manager, would you report on that, please?
Good evening, board members. Our search for a new general manager continues. One of the good things that we have had is a very good response to the advertisement and the recruitment efforts by our board and by Regional Government Services, our contractor. And the board has been conducting interviews and sorting through those candidates. We continue to try to find an ideal candidate, and the cost of sorting through all of those applicants is taking a while. So we are recommending an increase to the RGS agreement for time and materials of $17,000. It is time and materials, so it may not cost that much money, but it's there because we need it and this doesn't need to come back. So we may spend a portion of that, we may spend all of it, or, So that's the message to you, and that's the recommendation, is to increase the RGS agreement by $17,000.
Thank you. Do we have questions from board members? Starting with Director Israel, questions?
Nope.
No? Well, Director Olson? Director Asen?
None.
Director Scobie? None from me. Okay, that would be, we need to approve then a motion. Would someone like to make the motion?
Public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me. Thank you for that. I'm moving to it more efficiently tonight. Okay, now it's open to public comment. Do we have any public comment on item number 13? Which is renewing this contract or renewing this contract. Seeing none, is back to board members. Okay, now I'll strike with the Director Scobie. Comments, questions? No? Director Asen?
Only that I never desire to spend more money, but recognizing that we need to do this to go accomplish the task.
Okay, Director Olson? Director Israel?
No.
Okay, no comment from the chair.
I move that we approve resolution 23-41 to to amend the agreement with Regional Government Services for executive search consulting services.
Do we have a second to that motion?
I will second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve resolution 2023-41, amendment to the agreement between Cameron Park CSD, Regional Government Services for executive search consulting services. Would you call the vote, the roll on the vote, please, General Manager?
Director Benza?
Aye.
Director Scobin?
Aye.
Director Eason?
Aye.
Director Wolfson?
Aye.
And Director Israel?
Aye. Report the vote, please.
Aye, sir.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll move on to item number 14. Receive and file fiscal year 2023-23 preliminary year-end financial report. Ms. Reed, report on that, is that correct?
This deficit does not include the budgeted deficit transfer to reserves of $500,000. No budget adjustments were made at mid-year because the budget seems to be on track by December. In the third quarter, we had the storm in January, which caused all of the damage out of the lake and a couple other places, which ended up costing us I think it was about $140,000 for those repairs. Currently, we are waiting for FEMA to receive grant revenues for the prior fiscal year. Our revenues ended at 104%, which was over what we had expected to receive, and our expenditures ended up at 98%. Seasonal staffing due to increased summer programming. We needed additional staff to offset for those additional programs that we offered during the summer. We have had several vacancies, so due to those vacancies, we've had to have some full-time staff work additional hours. Bank charges are higher than normal, and that's due to an increase on what on our merchant fees. So when residents use our credit card systems, we have to pay a fee for that. Contract services were a little bit above what we expected, and that was due to the fire prevention specialist vacancy, which caused an increase in contract services. Also in recreation, with instructor pay being increased, we actually had more classes, so those offset each other with the revenue. And there were some unbudgeted items under miscellaneous. And then our professional services contract was a little bit higher due to obtaining the contract with Don Ashton, as well as our first responder fee billing was a little bit more than what we had expected to start out with. And then also propane, due to a really cold winter, the usage was a little bit higher than what we had.
Thank you very much. Okay, it comes back to board members for clarifying questions. Director Israel?
I do not have any.
Director Wolfson?
Nope, mine were all answered.
Thank you. Director Eason?
Question and comment. First comment, just to clarify, in staff's report in the introduction, the district ended in the negative $131,452. Just want to clarify and reemphasize. Part of that, or a major portion of that, is because we have not yet been reimbursed by FEMA Is that correct? So the negative isn't as spending as much as what we had to do, and that's going to come onto the books in this next fiscal year.
Yes, we should receive the reimbursement from FEMA in 23-24.
Okay. And it's a minor question, but this has gone up and down in years past. Interest income was significant, and I'm just assuming that's because interest rates have gone up and we got a lot more out of that than we anticipated. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. We budgeted low on that. I was surprised and glad to see that we got more out of that. That's all I have. Thank you.
Director Scobie.
This came through Budget and Admin, so I have no questions.
My question is, instead of a statement, is it in fact we came from a $1 million deficit to half of that in since March? Are we not correct? We cut our deficit in half.
So this is just to make sure everybody is understanding. This is for how we ended last fiscal year. So last fiscal year, we ended our year with about $130,000 deficit. So it's not the current year, it's last fiscal year. And then that shortage should be recovered in our current fiscal year from FEMA, because our superintendent, Mike Grassley, is working with FEMA actually on a weekly basis to get reimbursement from the cost from the storms.
Answer your question?
Not exactly. So we started the second quarter with a $1 million deficit, and in the third quarter we're down to a $500,000 deficit plus the difference with the FEMA reimbursement. Is that a fair statement?
I think I wasn't here at that point in time, and so I don't know if you, I don't remember that.
No.
I think that when building the budget this year, I think that there was a $1 million deficit. So the fiscal year that we are currently in, when we started this, it was a $1 million deficit. And then we were able to get that down to a $500,000. But that's, so this report is last year, and all of, I think what you're talking about is the current fiscal year.
Yes.
Okay.
So in fact, we have in fact cut it almost in half that.
Budgetarily, yes.
Okay, I think that's okay. Good news, and
okay.
I want to be
sorry,
very
complimentary
of that. Okay, thank you.
Director,
yes,
could I ask a question? So could you just clarify on the $500,000 reserve in our budget, that was shown as a basically a negative net revenue in last year's budget, is that correct?
Yes.
So it was essentially a budget deficit of $500,000 for that.
That's correct. Yes, that is correct. We're going to be coming back to you with an audit. So this is a pre-audit report to you. Mm-hmm. We'll be coming back with you for the audit. If there is still interest, I mean, the budget showed that the board had an allocation to reserves of $500,000. And when we come back with the audit, if you are pleased with what you see and you would like to move forward with that transfer, we can certainly do that.
Okay, I guess that's a
where would the money come from?
Well, it would come as with the budget in the way it was, it would come from the fund balance. So that's why we haven't transferred it yet, because that's where it would come from, but that's budgetarily where it was too.
Thank you.
Okay, now open to the public input. Questions, comments? Seeing none, back to the board members. Director Scobie?
No questions.
Director Eason?
Just a comment. It was nice to see in the actual property taxes. We had budgeted conservatively at 4%. It came back at a 9% increase over the prior year, which is wonderful. I'm recognizing that's not probably a trend for us. So we want to keep that in view when we go back to our next year's budget. But I'm so glad that that happened to help us in the previous year.
Director Wilson? Director Israel?
No comment.
Okay. I guess it's never good news when you're running a deficit, but I think we're moving in the right direction. Okay, now, since we've had public input, we've had board input, and now it's appropriate to receive and file. Is this an informational only, or is this for our vote?
Just an information, no located, and like I said, we'll come back with the audit.
Okay, very good. So we move on to item 15, which I think there might be some interest in here tonight. It's approving the proposed conditions for pickleball conditional use permit application. General Manager, would you present on that, please?
Would you throw up attachment 15A?
And for those of you who picked up a handout, they are then in the back, and there's pictures of three pickleballs. So this is the existing courts at Cameron Park Lake.
Could you maybe address why we're doing additional permit, maybe so people understand?
Yeah, background. Okay.
Okay, background, please. Thank you.
Sorry, I guess we know you have that. Our district back in the spring applied for a administrative permit to allow pickleball at Cameron Park Lake. The district many years ago started striping pickleball courts and then multi-use courts. But the staff at that time did not secure a permit for pickleball to occur at Cameron Park Lake. So staff applied for an administrative permit that could be approved by the planning director in El Dorado County. El Dorado County is the land use decision making authority in Cameron Park. The director did approve the permit, but the permit was appealed by residents. And you can kind of see at the top of the screen, it looks like a little swimming pool right there. That is private property across the top of the screen. There was an appeal, largely regarding noise from pickleball, because the residential property line was so close. Once it was appealed, the Planning Commission upheld the appeal, and the district did not secure a permit. The Planning Commission did suggest that the district reapply for a permit. They felt that a conditional use permit would be a more appropriate venue than an administrative permit. So staff has been working on this conditional use permit, and we'll talk about more about that process here in a minute, but let me talk about our proposal. So this is our current courts that are not being played on. That are not being played on right now. There are 8 pickleball courts and 3 tennis courts. Go to the next one, and the next one, 15C.
Okay, I don't know if people can see that. Would it be helpful to have it pointed out?
What pointed out?
Is it understood which is which?
So I think if I keep talking, they'll get it.
Okay.
Okay. This is what our proposal is. This is what came to our Parks and Recreation Committee, is that we would go to no multi-use courts, only dedicated courts. And it would be 4 pickleball courts and 3 tennis courts. The pickleball courts would be moved to the park fence, the south fence line, which is closest to the park, and we would cut the number of courts in half, so going from 8 courts to 4 courts. We would then move the tennis court over closer to the private property line on the north side of the fence, north fence line, and because tennis is a much quieter sport. Our proposal is that only people who are playing ball are in the fenced area of the courts. So there would be no more than 16 pickleball people and 12 tennis players inside of those. The staging area outside of the court, so pulling, you know, kind of the group of people that are waiting to play away from the private property and pulling it down so that everybody is staging in the grass area. We are not recommending any reductions of the days of the week for pickleball. It would be open just like tennis is. The setback between the private property line and our pickleball courts is 75 feet. And we would do new signage. So, you know, asking people to gather outside of the fenced area and only allowing players inside of the fenced area. There was some conversation in the Parks and Recreation Committee regarding cost. the cost to restripe everything and then also put in new permanent nets would be about $30,000. So that's a pretty steep price tag, especially because the board, the Parks and Rec Committee asked us to not only look at restarting pickleball at Cameron Park Lake through a conditional use permit, but also many of you have heard about funding that we have for park improvements, but also building new courts at another location in Cameron Park and potentially abandoning the courts at Cameron Park Lake. So instead of implementing this fully at a $30,000 price tag, go back to 15B. There we go. What we are suggesting is a less costly phase one, and this would also be included in the use permit. The less costly phase one would keep the three existing pickleball courts, but they would be dedicated to pickleball only, and then the two dedicated tennis courts. Cost for this would probably be less than half of the other fully implementing pickleball at Cameron Park Lake. So, what happens next is that if the board approves moving ahead with a conditional use permit, we will apply to the planning department for a conditional use permit. Their process is to do a CEQA review of this through their staff and also prepare this for the planning commission. So they'll do a staff review on it, they'll present it to the planning commission, and then the planning commission can either approve it, deny it, or change it. Which, with the administrative permit, all they could do was approve it or deny it. So they denied it, but suggested we come back and we could implement some. They could implement some changes. The planning commission can approve it, like I said, or deny it. If it is approved, the residents have the ability to appeal to the county board of supervisors. We would not and could not implement, restart play at Cameron Park Lake until that appeal has been heard by the board of supervisors. So, and to see the outcome of that.
Thank you. Director Scobie?
No questions.
Director Reese?
Yes, first, thanks, staff. I want to thank you for your work trying to come up with a solution with the facilities and the space and all we have. The primary issue here is the sound of pickleball in a location close to residential. There's nothing in this that addresses how this move impacts that effect. Can you fill us in a little on that, what it actually does to mitigate the sound?
So we're hoping that the sound will be minimized because there will be half the number of courts, and also minimizing sound because we're pulling the staging area outside of the courts. We did not do a sound study associated with this. Parks are exempt from the noise ordinance, I acknowledge that pickleball is noisy. So we've done our best to, within the guidelines that Parks operates with, is to reduce the noise and pull it away from those residents, and this is what we came up with.
So obviously part of that solution that was introduced along the way was sound treatments. Mm-hmm. Can you remind us, I know I'm asking off the top of your head, but summary of what the cost would be to do some kind of sound treatment there, what that might involve. I know there's talk of a wall, there's treatment you can put on the fence, et cetera, general cost area.
I don't know if Mike's got them, but if he does, he'll come to the podium. There is a sound barrier fabric that you can put over the fence line that could minimize the noise. I think that some studies say that you can't minimize the noise, you just redirect it to other areas. Sometimes that has unintended consequences for that. But it is certainly something that can be done either in phase one or phase two. And it can be added to the conditional use permit to put up some sort of sound dampening on the fence.
So when I was working with this on this project with the past general manager, we talked about putting up some kind of a shade fabric or cloth that would basically, on the back fence there along the property line, cover about 2/3 to 3/4 of that area. And it was about $30,000 for the material. And I know when Jill and I were talking about the conditional use, the fence that's between pickleball and the tennis court, we could temporarily, or not temporarily, but put in a, you know, a 10-foot fence there and add sound mitigation to that fence. It's something that could be done in phase two or in the future if we wanted to. But it was about, to do 2/3 of that back fence was about $30,000.
And do we, again, I'm asking off the top of your head, do we know in numbers how that gets mitigated or reduced? I know you can't eliminate it, but.
I think Jill was correct, and it more redirects the sound. But I know there is mitigation, and it will reduce it. I think it was called out in the report that was done in the sound study what the material would do, but off the top of my head, without looking at the report, I don't know.
Okay, that was my questions for now. Thank you.
Greg Wolfson.
So on this first page transmittal, fourth bullet item, it mentions an 8-foot cyclone fence. Is that what was just described at $30,000, or was that something else?
Why don't you go back to 15C. So to fully implement this 15C, we would fence around the pickleball courts. It would be a new fence, and that would be included in the $30,000.
And I went back to the September 11th Parks and Rec meeting and also the conformed agenda that was attached to the October 2nd. And I saw that there were two directions to staff in there. One was to decommission the pickleball at the lake and find a permanent venue. The second one was the conditional work use permit, which I believe is what was just described, and then we rejected continuing use in the gym and look for a permanent venue. So I see that we're only coming back with one of the two recommendations. What happened to the other one?
It's a capacity issue, so it is important that we get the landscape architect hired, and so staff is going to be doing an RFP and getting somebody working for the district so that we can come back in early 2024 with a park improvement plan. So we are working on that. It's just a capacity issue. There was a lot of things going on.
Those were my questions.
Director Israel.
I have no questions.
My only question is, with a conditional permit, if it was going to the Planning Commission, is that not correct?
Yes.
Okay. They could actually make their own recommendations or modify or add to what we present?
Yep.
Okay, that's my other questions. It now goes to public input, and please limit yourself to 3 minutes, and we'd like to hear what you have to say.
This is Eve Lowry, and I'd like to start off by asking a question that hopefully will avoid the whole argument of who gets 3 minutes and who gets 10 minutes, because it was stated at the beginning of the meeting that a person who's speaking for the group gets 10 minutes. And I would like to know, how many people do you need to donate their time to have a spokesperson get 10 minutes? That number was thrown out at previous meetings, but lately it's been like, no, you just can't do it.
I guess if you came with a group of people that are asking you to be their proxy, then that would be appropriate.
Okay, so if three of us are a group of people, then
I don't think that's agreed in my mind. No.
So you're saying only one person can speak 10 minutes and no one else can speak?
You have 3 minutes. Go ahead and speak for your 3 minutes.
That was my question. So we have a person who spent years and years and years doing research and needs more than 3 minutes to present some really important information to you and gets cut off at 3 minutes because otherwise nobody else can say anything.
It's public input. We give every member of our community an opportunity to present for 3 minutes. Go ahead, General Manager.
So, and just to remind the board and the audience that sometimes if there is someone that is speaking and the board would like to know more and have that person continue, the board can take action after the 3-minute time frame to have that person continue or not. It's I think that everybody likes to be fair about public testimony, so they don't do that very often, but that could also happen, just as a reminder.
It takes unanimous consent of the board, though.
And the last time that happened, right, it took a vote of the board, and there was 10 minutes of argument about it, and then the 10 minutes didn't happen to get to contribute to the public testimony.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Can I ask, is this information that we haven't heard before?
Yes.
Point of order, if I may?
Yes.
I'll ask Council on, so I'm just looking at the language that our community members looking at, and this is at the beginning of our agenda. It says, principal party on each side of an issue is allowed 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the board. It does not make a distinction.
Yes.
It simply says principal party on an issue, and then it says individual comments. It doesn't speak to a representation. Now, perhaps it does, and you can clarify that for us, because as I'm reading it right now, it sounds like there can be a person who's primary in an issue who can be allowed 10, and then any other individual comments on either side can be 3. Could you clarify for us, please?
Right. The intent to be initial intent of that rule is if you've got an issue in which affects a particular member of the public or a handful of them or something like that, then one person can stand up on each side and comment on that for 10 minutes. It's designed to avoid 50 people essentially saying the same amount of things and dragging the meeting out. However, as your general manager mentioned, the board can handle this differently if it wants to. It can allow for one person to come up for 10 minutes and a few others for 3. It can ask several members to waive whatever their comment is going to be in order to allow one person to comment for 10 minutes. Whatever the case is, the board can handle that as it wants to.
Okay, I'd like board input on this, please.
Well, simple math says that 4 people would be a group, and that 4 times 3 is 12. And if you had 3 people with seats 3 minutes, that's 9. So I come up with 4 as a group.
I'm sorry, say it. Repeat it again, please.
Okay, so if you have 3 people and they all want to speak, they get 9 minutes. If you have 4 people, then they can appoint someone to speak for 10 minutes. That's what I'm recommending.
Okay. Further input?
As I'm reading it, if there is a principal party on each side, they get 10 minutes. I don't see that it excludes others from speaking, particularly if there is a person in any issue who has more expertise and needs more time to explain that's helpful to the board. And that would go for either side. So I don't have a problem with a person speaking on one side of the issue if they're recognized by the board as a principal party. And they can say, we can say if they want to represent or not, but I don't see a problem with other people then speaking on that issue.
Okay. What issue? Director Wilson?
Well, to Director Aston's point, if this is representing the principal party and if it's information we haven't heard before, I would like to hear it.
Okay. Director Israel?
I'm not inclined to agree with my fellow directors on this. If one particular side has a principal representative who wants to provide a thorough and representative comment for 10 minutes, I'm fine with that. But if that person gets up and then we get 10 more people on the same side of the issue, I am not supportive of that.
Okay, I will put it back to you so we have a split board thought on this. How would you do it? Do you have a suggestion? Yes, you.
I think a good compromise is if there are 4 people who want to appoint one person and give their minutes, that person gets 10 minutes, and then anyone else that wants to speak that's not among those 4 people should be allowed to have their 3 minutes. That's what I
okay.
Same amount of time.
Do we have any objection to that? Seeing none.
Yep. Yes, I do. I already said.
Okay, I'm just reiterating it. Okay, I'm sorry that it's not unanimous. It is, Council, is that basically the standard we have to follow?
I think if that's what the board wants to do, someone should make a motion to that effect.
Okay, I'm looking for a motion.
I will make a motion that if there is a person who represents themselves and three others, they would be allowed 10 minutes. Should they announce who they are, well, announce the four people who they are representing, including themselves. They don't have to say their names, but we'd have to know that those people we would not hear from.
Okay, do we have seconded that motion?
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we allow one spokesperson representing four people, is that correct?
Including themselves.
Including themselves, being able to present for 10 minutes. Would you call the roll on that, please, General?
Excuse me, I'd like to comment.
Please.
There's no policy on this. We're making policy on the fly. I believe this goes against what we've typically done in the past, and I think it's poor governance. Thank you.
It was the policy until it wasn't.
Okay. General Manager, would you call the roll?
Director Mazza?
Aye.
Director Scobie?
Aye.
Director Easton?
Aye.
Director Wilson?
Aye.
And Director Israel?
Nay.
Okay. Would you call the roll? I'll call the vote, please, General Manager.
It's 4-1.
Okay. Very good. Are you prepared to present on behalf of your three other people?
No, yourself? Not me. Liz.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. So, does she want to come up at this point? Are you ready?
I didn't know she was going to ask that. I guess I was also waiting for others to come forward, but I'll do this now. Thank you. Good evening, board.
Excuse me. Please identify who you are representing.
I know, Tim. I appreciate that, Director Israel. I didn't anticipate this, so I don't need 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, we're covered. I don't need 10 minutes. I'm going to set my watch, and I see you have your own clock. I haven't started it yet. Just a second. I need to get myself composed because this was a little bit unsettling for me. All right.
Can you adjust the speaker, please?
The speaker?
The mic.
It's not on?
It's off.
Just speak into it.
Closer to it. Go closer.
All right. And that does a little more?
That's it. Okay. You got it. Thank you.
Thank you for telling me that. All right. Good evening. I will try to keep this brief. You know who I am. And I'm starting my timer right now. Okay, I did present a few pieces of paper because I didn't think I would get the request for 10 minutes. I did put this on in front of each of the directors' seats. Do you have it in front of you?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. You can do that yourselves. I know you will make a fair and impartial judgment on this issue, and I very much appreciate your service to this community. I know that what we're trying to do is strike a balance for residents who live near this park and the residents that come to the park and use it. That is what we should do. I'm glad that's what we're seeking. This proposal for a conditional use permit, I would like to put out that it does not look like a balance to us. And it is because we came forward after trying to live with it for several years when pickleball first started. It got going in 2019 so strong that I couldn't take it anymore, and I began to reach out and ask for some help and maybe action on this. I have all that documented. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I want you to save some time, heartache, and a lot of dollars and not pursue a conditional use permit. I have spent so much time trying to resolve what I think is a very serious problem. And the simple fix is to figure out some guidelines. These are not for a CSD to figure out. It should come from the state. It should come from above. Maybe this process is part of that pain. But the gist is pickleball and tennis are not the same in most important ways, and that's been acknowledged, and that is noise. Previously, because we had four tennis courts, and I've lived in our home with my family very happily until pickleball was introduced, four courts create a certain amount of noise when tennis is being played on them. They're called tennis courts. They were used exclusively for tennis. This new thing came in, and a lot of enthusiasm is happening for it. The gist is, the moving of these courts and the manner they're being proposed inside of this footprint, there is no way to achieve the mitigation of that noise. Very expensive fencing won't do it. It's in the study you've already paid thousands of dollars for. It says it. It's data right on the paper for you to refer to. That noise comes from, yes, the number of people using the courts. Half the amount of noise when still it is well above the standard allowed by law is not okay. It's sort of like saying it's okay to break the law certain days or times or a little bit. What is it? Let's just get some guidelines and follow them. And I would love to see pickleball in this community in a much more suitable location. This is not it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Do we have further public input? Please come up and identify yourself.
Hi, I'm Vicki Jacobs. You know, I've been attending a lot of these meetings with primary concern about the fire services in the district and Station 88's future. I don't know the history of all this. I'm not going to render an opinion on who's right and who's wrong and what people should tolerate. However, I don't want any of this district's money being spent on this. When we have Station 88 that might be closed, and we have some real question about the future of our fire services, which takes precedence over any of this. I don't want anybody to live in terrible noise. There's got to be another solution. And we don't have the money to create pickleball ball courts anywhere else. We all know this. So that's my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you for your input. For the public input, come on up.
I think it's well that both sides are trying to mitigate this, to serve each other, but I don't think this plan is workable considering $30,000 or however many thousands of dollars that were, I don't think it would be well spent. I think it should be reserved for a pickleball area over at Christy McCauley, and we have other issues in and around the lake property that need to be addressed that are some in some ways neglected, so I'm opposed to this plan.
Thank you for your input. Further public input, please come on up. And just identify yourself, ma'am.
My name is Maria Brooks.
Would you go to the mic, please?
My name is Maria Brooks.
Not quite.
This has been going on for a long time, and it seems like we haven't found a solution, or we don't negotiate. We're open for negotiation, but I don't think the other party is interested in negotiating. Now, we're all taxpayers, too, more than 200 of us, used to play at Cameron Park. But we don't have any more pickleball courts in the area, in Cameron Park at all. We have to go to El Dorado Hills, we have to go to Folsom, now we might have a chance to go to Placer Hills, but nothing in Cameron Park. Now we're all taxpayers, all 200 of us. Is it fair for us not to be able to use the park at all? I mean, we can negotiate. Maybe we can play a few times a week, a few days a week, or maybe a little later in the morning, or something, so that we can at least play. We're all older people. I'm 80 years old, okay? And for not the sports, I don't think I'll be here. Now, I know you folks are young. You're not retired yet. But for us, we just don't want to stay at home and wait to die. I mean, a few of us cannot even drive anymore. They just want to go to the park, play a little bit, socialize. Good for our mental health and physical health. We're not asking for too much. We're not asking to play every day from 8 to 5. Besides, we cannot play that long anyway. So all I'm asking, three questions, three very little questions. For the directors who voted no, may I please ask what is your reason for voting no?
They can't respond at this time, but they can later, okay?
Okay. Is it fair, that's the second question, is it fair for taxpayers and old people like we are that we shouldn't be given the time to play, use the card? Third question, this is a question that we don't know. Are you appointed or are you elected? Those are the three questions that I would like to ask. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Paul Freeman. I live in Cameron Park. And I realize there is a concern about noise with pickleball. But some of us have a different opinion of that noise. I think when I hear those pickleball things going, that there's a whole lot of people having fun, getting exercise, and socializing in a way that was really a neat thing that this Cameron Park Lake had put together. For way too long, for a lousy reason, in my mind, it has been shut down at that point, and it's just too bad. My thinking is, if the people that are against this would play with us, join us, have fun, and enjoy the sport, I think maybe we'd have a difference of opinion. But it doesn't seem like that's possible. I guess I'm in thinking that we ought to go to phase two right away. I know there's a cost, and that's trouble. I think if we're going to save some money on that condition, maybe we don't need that north tennis court. I don't see very many people playing tennis. If you see two or four people at a tennis deal when we've had all of our other things on the other end, I just didn't show up that much. So anyway, I think we've had a tremendous thing going. And it's just an absolute shame. And my other thought is, if we go for a new facility, which I hope we do, because we're going to need it in this county. And but I'm not any spring chicken anymore. And I'm just thinking, as long as this takes to get this conditional use permit approved, how long is it going to take to get the other thing approved if we haven't got any money in the first place? So I think we better shoot for at least a phase two part, North Tennis Court or not. So anyway, that's my statement.
Thank you for your input. For the public input, come on up.
Hello, my name is Scott Griffith. And
you're not quite on the mic, sir.
Oh.
Maybe you could come on.
Okay. All the way up. I feel like a singer. I live close to the pickleball courts, and I would. The noise is quite egregious, and I would like to see some other solution to be come up with. If we could, I don't know, move it somewhere else. There seems to be other courts in possibly Placerville, El Dorado Hills, that people could travel to play pickleball in Folsom. So I think that maybe we don't need pickleball here in Cameron Park. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your input. For the public input, go on up.
Good evening. My name's Joel Ellenwood. I live at Cameron Park Lake. I'm familiar with the pickleball courts and the tennis courts. And there are a couple simple concepts I'd like to share with you. The first is we all ought to be good neighbors. And it's not a good being a good neighbor if you create a nuisance for your neighboring property owners. A nuisance is any condition that causes a reasonable person to be uncomfortable with the use and enjoyment of their property. And pickleball noise is impulsive, it's loud, it's continual, and it is a well-recognized nuisance. So I would encourage you to avoid that. Another simple concept I'd like to introduce is that of pursue the path of least resistance. It's important to accommodate the interest in this community for pickleball. It's a wonderful sport. They've testified to all of the benefits for health and socialization and so on. That can be accommodated in a place where there is less resistance to its development, where there is no nuisance to neighboring property owners because there are no residents. That's at Crystal McCullough Park. This board directed staff to pursue two options. So far, staff has only pursued one option, the one that has the most resistance, and that would cause a process that you don't control and that you can't guarantee a result through the planning department and ultimately the Board of Supervisors. The CEQA process, the California Environmental Quality Act process, would require a determination that there are no significant environmental impacts. Noise is one of those impacts that has to be assessed. And you have substantial evidence in a professional study that noise is at a level above that's appropriate for areas approximate to a residential use. That's a significant impact. That's not an impact that the county can ignore. They would have to, in order to approve this project, they would have to conduct an environmental impact report on noise. The cost of that report is not included in the application fee. It's an additional cost that this CSD would have to pay. And that doesn't guarantee a favorable result. So I would urge you to be a good neighbor and pursue the path of least resistance and build pickleball courts at Crystal McCullough. Thank you.
Thank you for your input, sir. Okay, come on up, the next person.
Good evening, Board. Chuck Nielsen. I don't want to be redundant. All these points have been talked about before. You all know how important this is to this community. We turned in that petition of 323, whatever, signatures of all the people that enjoy it. And it's not just our little pickleball community. It's families, it's grandparents, it's grandchildren. It's a lot of people having fun. I don't want to go over all that again. But for the other side to suggest that this could be illegal, please. Not illegal. Parks should not be held to that same standard of noise. That's already been talked about. We're not being held to that same standard. And to say that both sides have tried to mitigate, I beg your pardon, they have not. We put forth many mitigations, many different ideas. We came to the planning committee meeting and we talked about how we liked the new idea. I like the one that came up tonight as well. Let's start with that. Let's go slow. And then we can move towards Krista. But let us have a place to play in the meantime. Please, don't just shut us off. I understand that they've got issues with the noise, and we're trying to be that good neighbor that this gentleman just talked about. We've bent over backwards. I was on the task force committee, and we came up with many different ideas. We've heard nothing from them that will compromise. So I'm just asking, let's be fair to our side, too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your input. Further public input.
Hello, my name is Rich Pontius. I've been in Cameron
Cameron Park since the 1980s. And again, I think a compromise would be nice. It's like all or nothing. And again, we are getting older in age. I used to be able to hike. I used to be able to run around the lake 2 miles. Those days are over. I can play pickleball, I can walk around the lake, I can golf if my knees take it. But it just seems like we should have some type of compromise until the new courts are built, then maybe take away pickleball from Cameron Park. But until then, we need something, a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you for your input, sir.
John Bailey, I live in Cameron Park. I just want to advise you that New York Times has been reporting on pickleball, on its increasing popularity coast to coast here in the United States. Also, they report on the increased number of lawsuits coast to coast here in the United States. So right along with the growth of pickleball is the growth of lawsuits dealing with the sound. Not just the DB, but the psychological qualities of the sound. Thank you.
Sorry. My name's Kramer.
I'm sorry.
Jack Hilbert. I play pickleball. I stopped playing a year ago. I've been playing for 4 years, and I really, really miss it. I'm really disappointed that we can't play pickleball. Cameron Park Lake anymore. I know life isn't perfect. I used to live 3 houses from the 118 freeway. I heard all the noise all the time. You get used to it, dogs barking. I used to work at Continental Can back in 1966. It was so noisy. We had conveyors going all around the place. You get used to it. It's funny how you get used to it. And life isn't perfect, and you have to kind of go along with things like that. And I really appreciate the board. I appreciate all the my friends that have supported our goal here. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. For the public input, Lonnie.
Brad McMullen, Cameron Park. First thing is, you guys don't have the money to shove into this thing. I don't care what kind of amendments you make. I don't care what kind of modifications you make. You don't have the money. And if even you allow pickleball to play, and because you spent the money, fire station shut down, somebody has a heart attack on that court, they're gone. You guys should be saving money. You can't even afford to put tires on the fire engine. At the last meeting, they were discussing that there's no budget for the tires on the fire engine. So this is like non-negotiable in my opinion. You shouldn't be spending money you don't have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. For the public input.
Hello, my name's Lowell Shields, and for better or for worse, I was responsible for getting the sound study done in the first place, so I'm fairly knowledgeable with the results of that. Extrapolating a 8-quart sound test to the current proposal is really inappropriate because it's apples and oranges. So stating that the current proposal that was on the table, which I think is a great compromise, is risky at best. So I would be very careful about trying to assume certain things relative to the noise study that was prepared for very different purposes and a very different configuration. It's all about the intensity of the use of the courts, and that's what the Planning Commission took exception to, was the difference in intensity. And when you look at the current proposal with the 3-quart option in particular for the Part A, the intensity is radically different than the 8-quart proposal where we started out. So we started out on this process with 8 quarts, and then we went down to our proposal was a 6-quart, 4-quart split option for morning, evening. That never really reached much progress because it went into the Planning Commission after that. Then the committee came up with the Parks Committee came up with a 4-quart option, And now they're down to a three-court option, which was a good compromise, where the three-court option is a starting point, and then it checks the box to get the people out there playing. But it also allows for the long-term view of trying to site courts elsewhere and taking the time to do it properly. And if it doesn't go forward, then you have the four-court option, which is Part B. And I think that's a great compromise. I think it really checks all the boxes, and I would encourage you to carefully consider that tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Rhonda?
Barbara Rogers, Cameron Park. I'm not in agreement with the proposal at all. Today our ambulance moved from Station 89 to Station 86 on Bass Lake. We lost our ambulance service here, and we're facing seeing our fire service different than it has been for the past 27 plus years. And here you guys are just spending money willy-nilly. We don't have $25,000. For right now, I don't want to see you spending any unnecessary money until you figure out what's going to happen to our fire service.
Thank you for your input. Come on up.
Hi, my name is Susan Parrish. I live on Royal Park Drive. I want to say that it doesn't just affect one person. It affects all of the people that are along that line. It affects the people across the street. It affects the people on the lakeside, Cambridge. For their sanity, it just hits their home the hardest. Please try to think about relocating another part, please. Our property value, who knows what it'll do. It's just heartbreaking. You can build a new park, you can build a new station and charge $2 or $3 for 200 people, you'll make your money back. This is just avoiding extra cost, I think. I just don't think you're gonna get your money back. Thank you.
Thank you for your input. Further public input?
My name is Zelma Sova, and I'm one of the minorities. I live right there, back of those courts. And the people that say they'd love to go there and they'd love to have fun and they don't care about the noise, guess what? They're only there for an hour, 2 hours. We have to live with it all day long. Your proposal says from 8 o'clock till closing. Well, in the summertime, guess what? That's 9 o'clock at night. We have to live there. Nobody ever takes into consideration the minority, what we have to go through when there's other options that you were supposed to be looking into. And I've been up here just about every meeting and I say the same thing and I feel like I'm just wasting my voice. But I would appreciate you not putting it through.
Thank you, ma'am. Further input?
Dave Gates, I live in the house with a little pool and the other backs up to it. Regarding the comment about the extrapolating the sound study, we actually did talk to the sound engineer and he validated those numbers via extrapolating it. I do have 3 minutes here. I promise you I won't subject you to the punishment that I have to listen to every day. There's people playing out there. But I will give you a nice example of what we get to listen to every day. From 8 o'clock until it gets dark. That's outside, and that's not up to the fence. That is around my yard. This is actually inside our house with the windows open.
I don't know how you expect anybody to have a sane mind.
Just like every day.
Now, with the reduction of the courts, what's going to happen? It's the same amount of people that are going to be there. They're going to play all day long from 8 o'clock until it's dark. And as you can tell, it can be 32 people, it can be 16 people. The noise is unbearable. Thank you. Really hope you consider not voting for this.
Thank you for your input, sir. Further public input, come on up.
Good evening, thanks. My name is Sean Trumbull. I live in Cameron Park. I guess I'm here representing my wife and two kids as well, but I don't need 10 minutes. I'm basically here speaking again in favor, in support of the public use of the courts in the community. I like the proposed plans, phase one and phase two, as well as the pursuant for an alternative location. I want to be a respectful neighbor. I want to be respectful to the noise concerns. I've lived literally next to pickleball for over 40 years. I actually had a pickleball court in my backyard growing up. We worked with our neighbors, we had compromise, we talked about when is a good time to play, when is it reasonable to stop playing, and we worked it out as neighbors. It was, you know, compromise on both sides. We haven't seen compromise on both sides in this particular case. So you've heard from Lowell, you've heard from several others talking about the other options, considerations, adjustments that have been, you know, suggested, offered, considered from one side of this argument, and we haven't seen any solutions other than go away. Money is very important. I want my fire department to answer the call if I am in distress, wherever I'm in this community. So I understand money is very important. This phased approach allows for the return to play as a compromise. You know, half the number of courts, less than half the number of the courts that were previously accessible. That's a compromise. Pursuing for a new location, I think, is great if the funds can support what the fire department needs, other department needs, and the pickleball community needs. It should be pursued. But pausing or eliminating access to a readily accessible court to a large community of residents in this community, I think is just being short-sighted and not neighborly. So I'd like to strongly urge that we consider moving forward with this phased approach and continuing to look for a new location. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further public input? Once again, further public input? Seeing none, it's back to the board. Start with you, Director Israel. Comments, questions?
So I'd like to address some of the comments that were made from the audience. We do have budget. We have $2 million in park improvement plan, our fees, that are not available to the fire department. So we have budget to work with to develop splash pad, pickleball courts, infields on our baseball fields, any number of improvements. And so that's part of the process that we're in. I will say we've urged our staff to go out and procure a landscape architect. That has not happened, and I am very disappointed in that. It has delayed not only development of pickleball, but spending of the money that we need to spend from our park improvement fees. So I urge staff to get that task done. I am disappointed in the lack of compromise. I am supportive of continued development of other sites for this with the intent of discontinuing pickleball at Cameron Park Lake when those park amenities are improved. I also suggest that we consider further mitigations as part of an action tonight, which would limit the days and hours of use at those pickleball courts. I suggest that we limit play to Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays
from 9 to 5. And then finally, we are on a bit of a slippery slope here. What is a nuisance to our neighbors at our parks? What's to prevent neighbors from protesting Camera Park Spectacular, for example? Use of the Frisbee golf course because it's creating a nuisance to our neighbors. Use of parks is inherently a nuisance to the people who live near a park. It is not an open space. It is not a unimproved property. It is a park. So I'm interested in hearing my board on their comments, and I would urge them to consider my suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Wilson?
I appreciate the clarification regarding the park impact fees. I didn't think to ask this before, but can those funds be used for this modification as well, or only for the development of new courts? Because if this is coming out of the general fund, I don't support it. But if it's park impact fees, I'd like to know.
I think that we'll have to do some research on this. So since pickleball, the park improvement fees are to expand park uses. Since we are going through a permit process to allow pickleball, and right now we have suspended play, I believe that park impact fees could be used as far as it's being associated with implementing the conditional use permit. So yes.
So I've read all your letters. I'm sorry that I didn't reply to them, but I have read all of them and heard all of your comments. I am committed to finding a solution. My problem with this conditional use permit is that if it isn't approved, we're back to the drawing board, and if it is approved, there's absolutely no guarantee that 3, 4, 6 months down the road, we're going to implement a permanent solution at McAuliffe. I have heard the arguments that this is legal. I've also heard the ones that it isn't. I really don't know which thing is true. I'm not a lawyer. But sometimes there are things that you can do legally and you maybe shouldn't do morally. I do believe that this is not a nuisance complaint. I believe that the noise is egregious, and I would prefer that we proceed straight to the permanent solution because this isn't a solution. Thank you.
Dr. Rosen?
I want to echo Director Wilson's comment. Thank you for all your emails and your input. We do appreciate it when you speak into this. We need that. And I apologize to you for not having gotten to respond to all the emails, although they are read and they are heard. Thank you. We all know this is not a new issue. I was in San Diego this weekend on a college visit with my son, and random conversation with a person mentioned my role, said the word pickleball, and got a response just out of throwing a dart. It was there. So it's everywhere. We've been reading articles. How this has impacted us across the country. There's a couple questions I have just for some clarification. I think Director Wilson got some of this. We don't know where the funds would come from at this point. Is that correct?
We haven't identified funds. I think that thinking it through that right now play is suspended because we don't have a conditional use permit. If we get a conditional use permit that approves pickleball and we make improvements based on that permit, I would say yes, that we are expanding services. Even though we've done pickleball in the past, we didn't necessarily follow the steps that were needed to make play permanent out there.
Okay. And just to address some of the concerns, I believe there's pickleball courts at Camerota Middle School. Is that correct? Or am I wrong in that?
I don't know.
No, I know because I've spoken to the principal over there. we actually tried to access that, but it was the custodial setting that I'm taking down.
That's not my question.
I'm sorry. In
the same way that there are basketball courts and tennis courts and other places, on weekends when school is not in session, there are courts in other places.
No, they take it down, is what I'm saying.
Well, but there is space there that can be used. Is that correct?
I guess in theory, yes.
Yes.
The district has said no. We've made that request.
You're not hearing my comment. The district is not going to come out on a weekend and keep a kid from playing basketball over Cameron Middle School, correct?
But the courts are locked.
No, some of them are open, right? It's open. There's, I see kids over there on the weekends all the time.
There's, the main pickleball courts at Cameron Middle School are locked up.
Okay, and that's some of the information I'm trying to get to is what's available. What's the current status of pickleball in the gym?
We are playing pickleball in the gym. Every day of the week.
Okay.
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday.
Okay, so there is a place to play pickleball in Cameron Park at this point?
Yes. Indoors.
Indoors, but there is a place to play?
Yes.
Okay. What is the standard recommendation for distance between a pickleball court and a residence? Do we have the answer to that question?
50 feet was what the... So going back to the Planning Commission opinion, when they were talking individually, not as collective, but as a group, one of the reasons, what they found was that pickleball was not the same as tennis, that it was a more intense sport. Therefore, having the same setback, or having like tennis courts that are exempt from a setback, it was not appropriate to apply that to pickleball. And so there is a 50-foot setback, and these courts meet the 75, or actually 75 feet.
And the 50-foot setback is based on?
The typical county setback.
But not pickleball in particular?
Not in, correct, for structures.
So this is just a standard setback. It's not based on data for this particular situation, is that correct?
Correct. There are no setback requirements for pickleball.
Okay. Have we done any investigation, because this is not a new issue, to understand what is becoming the standard recommendation? Because I have to believe that there are communities and park districts that are constructing them and taking what has developed into account as they do that. Have we investigated in Parks and Rec Associations and CSDA, anything to find out what kind of data has come forward for a recommended distance?
I haven't found any. That's not to say that it's out there. It's not out there. And I think that when we go to build new courts, all of those things will be considered. You know, buffer areas are very critical for parks to be planned with some sort of buffer area. So for this particular case, it was about potentially resuming play at Cameron Park Lake. And that's what we put forth on this conditions for a conditional use permit.
Okay. I know there's more questions now, so I want to give the directors a chance. First, again, thank you to staff and folks who worked on this. We're trying to work with what we've got. I want to address the question of discussion and compromise, because I would agree, in most situations, compromise is the thing we're aiming for. I think it's not correct to say that compromise is always the possibility, just as a general rule. Sometimes you don't compromise on things that are important. In this case, I'm not convinced we have the data to know if this is appropriate. If we're going to build pickleball courts somewhere else, and in that consideration, we are going to look at data. What is appropriate for our distance? How are we going to do this right so that this isn't a problem in the future? I think it's appropriate to apply that same standard in our consideration now. I don't know why we would wait. I recognize what that does to part of our community, and I'll just say I'm sorry. I recognize that this is hard. I recognize you like this, and I sympathize. But the same as it was said to us, that if we just came and played pickleball, we might have a different opinion. I would also suggest that if you lived in a house for 7 years where you had to experience this, you might have a different opinion too. And so, in that consideration, I can't support this conditional use permit. There's more to be said on that. That's the basic stance I have.
Director Scoville.
Well, I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. All of us as a board can't thank you enough for coming and being involved in your community. I also would like to see you all come and be just as involved when we're dealing with our fire sustainability issues. We need your input there just as much as we need to hear. One thing we learned in our training is to find common ground, not just among board members, but among our community. The common ground here is clear: new courts. There's no doubt we're convinced that pickleball community is a special, athletically, mentally, socially wonderful community. And we need to support that. That's what we are. We're a community services district. We need to do that. So I don't understand why I'm not in support of the permit simply because we know what we agree on. Why don't we go pursue what we agree on? The courts that are there now we're just continuing the same problem. We're churning on the same problem. It keeps coming back. It's like a bad thing. It won't go away. Why are we still doing this? Let's go do our new courts, support our pickleball community, and get that done. A couple of other things that I believe, just to make sure things are correct here, is the CEQA fee included in that permit amount that you brought forward? Okay. And what is the amount in our park impact fee? Park impact improvement?
1.5. I don't know that we're up at 2 million. Park impact fees, do you know what the balance is right now?
Yeah. It's about 1.5 million. Okay. And this whole pickleball came about, the board made the decision to strike these courts and put them out there without fully understanding the impact. And it's hard to say, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't have done that, but it seems now that this has happened. We grew a beautiful community that we want to support, but maybe we shouldn't have put those there. And just keeping them in the same location just doesn't make sense to me. And it's just guesswork at this point of how much we're going to reduce our noise mitigation. We don't know, so unless we do another study, which it costs more money, which we've already heard, we don't want to be spending that from the general fund. And is there any way we can expand the time in the gym for our pickleball community to play? I know some don't want to play inside, but would there be an opportunity there?
There's already programming going on Saturdays and Sundays. So there's other programming that is happening on Saturdays and Sundays.
What about the afternoon?
We can look into it.
Okay. If there's people who want to play pickleball and there's available time in the gym, then let's see what we can do for them there. There was another comment about tires on the fire engine. I believe we do have in our budget currently for this fiscal year to purchase tires for our fire engine.
I believe so.
Yes. So those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Okay, this has not been an easy issue for me. Just to correct a couple of things. First of all, if we say this as a conditional permit, we will in fact get input, and they may come back and say, I think one example would be maybe shortening the hours or shortening the days. So it's not a black and white done deal, but it's probably a starting place. I'm a great believer in compromise. I think you have to listen to all sides. And I think that is an important issue here, for at least for me. Funding, I think you've just heard, we have the funds to build new pickleball courts. We can't transfer those to fire services. It just isn't the way it works. Those monies are committed to park improvements. Nor is an environmental impact report. The requirements are obviously very different for a park, so that's not an issue either. But I think there is common agreement among all the board members that we do want permanent courts. And probably there is a better location. I think it's kind of a false argument to say we're going to retrofit to current or new standards in existing park. It's not the way it works with most things in life. You can't exactly fit the new structure into the old piece of land or whatever. So, and interestingly enough, as someone with a real estate license, actually we're finding there's an increase in property values being at close proximity to a pickleball courts. It's in high demand sport. If you look in our community, in senior communities, they're adding it, they're marketing it as a feature. If you look down the hill, all the sports clubs that are on the right by Costco have all changed to pickleball. You look at the one up in Shingle Springs, they converted most of that to pickleball. So in fact, it adds value to our community and values to our property owners. There really is no perfect solution here. But there is a community value that's been presented here, and that's the trade-off. It's individual property values and community value. And I have to look kind of at that bigger picture. And yes, I live next to a softball field in Stockton, and they had lights, and they play softball until they shut the lights off. But that came apart of being living next to a park. So, as I said, there is no perfect solution, but there's a community value here that I think is quite significant. Until such a time we're able to put permanent courts in, I think we should go forward with this proposal. I think the cost of value is not high. It's interesting to me the number of people I hear that we moved to Cameron Park because we like some of these activities that are available for us. So it adds value to our community, it adds social value to us, it's addressing the needs of a large part of our population. Yes, it inconveniences neighbors, but that is only a temporary thing until we're able to get a permanent solution and a permanent pickleball court set up, and hopefully in a better location. So at this point, is there further input from board members? Seeing none, I'm looking for a motion, and we have actually several possible motions here.
I'll move that we approve the conditional use permit proposal, or as proposed, with the additional mitigation of reduced days and hours of Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday from 9 to 5.
I'll second that motion. It's been moved and seconded that we accept the staff proposal for the conditional use permit with the change of hours from Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, was that correct? 9 to 5?
Yep.
Okay.
So I just like to provide input. I know you still have to vote on this motion. I think for park staff to manage a 9 to 5 opening and closing of a gate and a key or a gate would be difficult. So because we don't necessarily have staff that work in parks 9 to 5. So it would be better if it was 8 to dusk or something like that. Is that, Mike, do you have any more you want to add to that?
So with the proposal, the way it is, there's no way to delineate the pickleball and tennis courts. And so we could put all the signs and stuff up we want. We have staff that work Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 4:30. We don't staff Saturdays and Sundays. So we could regulate it while we're there. But after 4:30, there's no way to delineate the two. We could close the tennis courts along with the pickleball courts. Would be one way to do it, but to break the two up, it would just be signage and kind of on the honor system. And on Saturday, we'd have to figure out how to staff it to be able to do that.
Sounds like 4:30 is a better.
Would be a better time, yeah.
So would you kind of restate what you think the ideal would be? Maybe we could get a motion to that effect.
Well, like I said, district staff, park staff are available till 4:30, Monday through Friday.
So 8 to 4:30.
But after 4:30, there's no way to lock pickleball courts separate from the tennis courts. So we can put all the signs up we want, but there wouldn't be any regulation.
Director Isser, would you like to restate the motion then?
Close the tennis courts too.
No, I would not.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded that we adopt this conditional permit with the time changes. Would you take a roll on that, please, General Manager?
Director Bazette?
Abstain.
Director Scobie?
No.
Director Easton?
No.
Director Wilson?
No.
Director Israel?
Yes.
Report the vote, please.
The motion failed. It is a 4-1 abstention and one Four. Three opposed, one abstention, one yes.
Okay, I'm looking for another motion, please.
And I don't need a motion or approval not to pursue the conditional use permit, so just so that you understand that. There could be another motion, I don't want to make that, you know, suggestion. There could be another motion, but I don't necessarily need a motion not to proceed with the conditional use permit.
I move that we accept the conditional permit with the time change from 8 till 4:30, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So 8 to 4:30, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we've accepted that we modify that and approve the conditional permit with the time change of Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8 to 4:30. Would you take the roll on that motion, please, General Manager?
Director Bazet?
Aye.
Director Scobie?
No.
Director Easton?
No.
Director Wilson?
No.
Director Israel?
Yes.
Report the vote, please, General Manager.
It is a 3 opposed to yes in the motion, yes.
Okay, I'm looking for input from board members on this. Are we looking at tabling this permit? Are we looking to delay it? I need input from board members.
I think you've heard it, Director Bazet. I think there are some of us that just recognize that while compromise can be good, this does not address the fundamental issue, which is that it creates an almost unlivable situation for some of the residents, not just one, a number of them. And until that can be addressed properly, it's not appropriate to put them back in that situation. There's also some other considerations like the timeline for it, and if there is an appeal, and if there is a lawsuit, and if these other things do come, then that becomes, it delays it even more. It becomes even greater cost to the district when you've heard there is support for simply pursuing, let's look where we can put this with our park impact fees as appropriately and as efficiently as possible.
Okay, it fails for the lack of a vote. I guess the other question, Director Scobie's question, is it possible to expand the time available in the gym from the 9 to 12, Monday through Friday?
We'll certainly take a look at that.
Okay.
And it will be, and then also we'll watch play. So if we expand the hours, but there's not the play, you know, if there's not a lot of play, then we'll change it back.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for public input. We move on to the item 16, wage and compensation study. Gentlemen, okay. So we'll take a 5 minute break here.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you very much.
You like the recorder?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you this. You guys don't have to hear me.